following audio is from St. Nick's Durham. As a church, we exist to love God, love people, and love Durham. We hope that this sermon will serve you well as a supplement to your regular Bible reading, prayer, and participation in your local church. For more information about St. Nick's Durham, directions or resources, please visit stnicks.org.uk.
Let us pray. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Amen. May I add my welcome to that of Claire to this wonderful service, and particularly to our choir. My friends, we live in revolutionary times. Whatever your response to the recent general election, there is little doubt that we are in a time of upheaval, change, and even revolution. Whilst the shape and outcomes of those changes are yet to be fully known, there's little doubt, to quote the old Chinese curse, that we live in interesting times. Writing earlier this week, the BBC's former political editor, Andrew Marr, put it this way. We are living through a revolution. It isn't quite the revolution many would have been hoping for, but it is, nevertheless, a dizzying episode of upending change. This election result, he wrote, will change Britain's place in the world, affect the life chances of millions of people, and may yet unpick the United Kingdom. And yet, for all the drama of the general election 2 weeks ago, the daily experiences of many people would have seemed unchanged on the day that followed. There was, after all, still jobs to do, kids to take to school, shopping to be done. People still got ill. Relationships still had to be negotiated. Fears of job losses remained. People lived and people died. But there is one revolution which, since its inception, has not only had an immediate and transformative impact on those who witnessed it, but continues to bring change and inspiration to all who are touched by it. It's a revolution of hope, rooted in love, acceptance, and forgiveness. It's a revolution that continues apace even today, across the world, in China, in Iran, in South America, in other parts of the globe, and whose consequences are felt as much as in Durham, as they are in Doha or in Dakota. It's a revolution, as we heard earlier in our reading that Grace read to us, that begins in the New Testament with an unmarried teenage girl on the edge of society accepting an invitation with the words, "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me as you have said." Months later, this same revolution is seen to take place in the fields outside Bethlehem, where the shepherds, the lowest outcasts of their society, are chosen to be the heralds of the good news of the coming of the King. And this pattern of choosing those on the edge, those on the margins, is something that continues as this revolution unfolds. As the Bishop of Burnley, Philip North, noted in a speech in 2017, in order to found a movement to transform the world, Jesus called not the wealthy, the articulate, or the powerful, but a ragtag, chaotic bunch of third-rate fishermen, busted tax collectors, and clapped-out rebels. He chose the poor and the weak and the powerless. He chose those who knew their utter dependency on God because they quite literally had nothing else to depend upon. And with these Keystone Kop disciples, he blew apart the whole meaning of what it is to be human. We gather tonight to mark the coming of Christmas, and that on Christmas Day we celebrate anew the revolution of hope brought about by the birth of Jesus Christ. It's a revolution rooted in the notion of Emmanuel, one of those names given to Jesus, which means God with us. One of the modern translations of the reading David just read to us a moment ago from chapter 1 from John's Gospel puts it this way: God comes and moves into the neighborhood and pitches his fleshy tent amongst us. It's a revolution that refuses to be extinguished and is constantly renewed, not only in our praise and worship of God, but in the actions that flow from that worship. It is, to use those words again from John's Gospel, the light that shines in the darkness, which the darkness can neither understand nor overcome. And whilst the revolution might find its roots in the marginalized, it's one that is open to all, regardless of status, class, background, or upbringing. Alongside the shepherds, we find the kings. I don't know how many of you have seen the Netflix series The Crown. Has anybody been watching that? A few. My wife Jo and I are avid fans and have recently finished watching the third series, which is a slightly darker account of the life of the Queen and the royal family than has been shown in the previous series. And whilst the Queen is the undeniable focus of The Crown, there's also much in this docudrama which reflects on the life of the Duke of Edinburgh, who, as we meet here this evening, remains in hospital recovering from an illness. And whilst the faith of the Queen is obvious to anyone who has ever sat down on a Christmas Day afternoon to watch her annual message, The Crown, if it is to be believed, provides an interesting reflection on the Duke of Edinburgh's adult journey of faith. Whether in the face of the enormous suffering that accompanied the Aberfan mining disaster in 1966, or the Duke's spiritual crisis that accompanied the man landing on the moon in 1969, or the deep impact of the faith of his mother, Princess Alice, who in later life became a nun after a long period of illness and exile. In all of this, the person of Jesus Christ is an undeniable presence. From the greatest to the least, this revolution of love and hope has impacted on the lives of all of those who have truly met with the man who was born in a manger. Now, it might be this evening that you will be forgiven for sitting here thinking that all this revolution language seems rather far-fetched and overblown. After all, you are in a church that is part of the Church of England, And traditionally, the Church of England is more famous for quiche, tea and cake than for radicalism, reform or revolution. But of course, a church isn't simply bricks and mortar. Rather, a church is simply a community of people gathered together in one place who are united through a common confession and a shared belief. But what a difference, my friends, those people inspired by that revolution of love and hope, what a difference those people can make in the world around them. Just consider some of the movements founded by Christian men and women over the last century alone. The worldwide hospice movement, founded by Dame Cecily Saunders. The Samaritans, who last year on Christmas Day received 10,000 calls on Christmas Day alone, founded by Chad Varra. Shelter, the Red Cross, Oxfam, Amnesty International, Alcoholics Anonymous, Help the Aged, Action Aid, the Trussell Trust, whose nationwide network of food banks will feed tens and thousands of families this Christmas. Each of these organisations, national and international, just a few of those inspired by this revolution. And closer to home, just in the past few years alone, we see the Durham Winter Night Shelter, the St. Nick's Recovery Group, the Refuse Cafe in Chesterley Street, the Durham Christian Partnership, whose co-founder Jack Winskill we will remember here tomorrow as we give thanks for his life and the way his faith inspired him until the very end in the service of God and of others. Now, of course, it could rightly be said that you don't need to be part of the Jesus movement or of this revolution to serve your neighbour or even to support a charity. But as Tom Holland notes in his recent book Dominion, The Making of the Western Mind, even in societies such as our own, which remain doubtful of religion's claims, many of its instincts remain irredeemably Christian and finds its values in a Christianity so revolutionary and disruptive that it eventually came to saturate the mindset and outlook of the West, even in the shape of its secularism and atheism. Now, it may be that no one has ever invited you to join, or that you've never felt that the time is right for you. So tonight, can I extend an invitation to you to become a part of this movement and to join this revolution, or at the very least, to begin the journey to discover the man who the baby grew up to become. Maybe tonight in the carols that you have heard, maybe in the candlelight or in the readings, something has prompted you so that you are ready to meet with Jesus tonight, perhaps meeting him afresh or perhaps not for the first time. If that's the case, don't leave here tonight without speaking to someone, without speaking to perhaps me or to Claire. In a few weeks' time, we will start here a course called Alpha. You'll find an advert for it in the back of your orders of service. It runs on the 23rd of January for 8 weeks on Wednesday night. It's a place to come and to ask questions. No question too silly. No question too stupid. Trust me, I've asked enough of them in my time. Rather, it's a place to find out more about this Jesus revolution, this resurrection revolution, this movement of hope and of love. So, my friends, all that is left is to wish you a joyous, peace-filled, and restful Christmas, and to invite you in these most interesting of times to come and to join the revolution. A life-changing journey awaits. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. Nick's Durham podcast. If you would like to hear more sermons and teaching like this, then subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about St. Nick's, visit our website at stnicks.org.uk.